Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill.
He is the author of The Sales Bible. He is also the author of Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless. He is the author of a column called Sales Moves, which is syndicated in 70 business journals across the country with 1.5 million readership weekly. He is the author of Gittimer's newsletter, Sales Mastermind, and he speaks and trains companies all over the country. He is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and his name is Jeffrey Gittimer, and he's our friend. He's with us right now, and we're going to be talking about customer loyalty and whatever other issue he'd like to talk about. Jeffrey, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. It's nice to be back.
It's good to have you back with us. And, folks, I'll remind you that we've got a copy of Jeffrey's books. I've got actually one of each one that I want to give away. If you want to call me and answer one of my trivia questions, I mentioned them to you earlier in the hour. If you didn't get those, I'll remind you about them later on. If you want to call us and ask a question, if you have something you'd like to comment on, or if you want to ask Jeffrey a question, the phone number is 888-822-8255. Jeffrey, what's on your mind today?
I want to talk today, Jim, predominantly about stupidity.
Okay.
It seems to be a disease that runs rampant throughout America, no matter where you go. The other day, I flew into San Diego, and when you fly coast to coast from Charlotte, it's about a five-hour flight, and then there's about another hour of messing around inside the airport, of getting your bags and taking an elevator over to the taxi and then taking the elevator down and then finally getting in the car and getting to your hotel. I get to the hotel, it was 10:30 at night, San Diego time, 1:30 in the morning, Charlotte time. So I was pretty tired. I get to the front desk and the woman says, "Our computers are down. We're not checking anybody in."
Oh, no.
And I thought she was sharing one of her problems with us. And so I said, I thought to myself, well, I might as well share one back with her. I said, my daughter's got the flu, and she's not feeling too good.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing about your daughter.
I said to her, listen, you got 3 minutes to either get me a room or in this hotel or get me a room in another hotel. And she sort of scurries away from the desk and goes back to find her daddy or her mommy, because she obviously was incapable of communicating in a way that I was going to find acceptable. And sure enough, she comes back 3 minutes later, and somehow, miraculously, they find me a room. But I'm already upset. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm standing there, you know, stomping around and having a hissy fit because they don't feel like checking me in. And I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. Now, what would have happened 10 years ago? Would she have come out and said, listen, we're not checking anybody in until we invent computers?
Right.
There's a sort of a long line right now, but we expect that they'll be invented within a year or so. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, she could have made a better choice when she started talking to me. She could have welcomed me to the hotel and said something like, "Welcome to our hotel, sir. You're in luck. Our computers are down, and that means that you can either go and eat dinner for free, and when you come back, your room will be ready, or you can hang here for about 5 or 6 minutes, and I'll try to get you one manually."
Mm-hmm.
Now, wasn't that her option?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so stupidity reigns because either she thought of the answer on her own, "Our computers are down, and we're not checking anybody in," or her boss said, "Tell everybody the computers are down, and we're not checking anybody in."
Or there's another contingency.
Yeah.
And another thought, and that is that nobody said anything, including nobody had a plan for what we would say to customers when the computers go down.
Yeah, that's obvious. And that's not the only time computers have ever been down at that hotel or any hotel, I can guarantee you.
Absolutely.
And so what they've done is they have taken the typical road of business, and I want everybody who's sitting in a business environment right now to listen up hard. When something goes wrong in your business, that's got nothing to do with your customer. When something goes wrong in your business, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to fix it in a way that has zero interruption to any customer's ability to gain service from you or gain product from you.
Well said, Jeffrey. Stand by. I want to get the rest of this when we come back. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I told you you were going to enjoy our visit with Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're going to be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay tuned. More to come. All right. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Jeffrey Gittimer, the author of two books that I have in front of me. One is called The Sales Bible, The Ultimate Sales Resource, which is an outstanding book. And the other one is also very good. It's called Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless. And I want to give you a chance to win a copy of either one of these books. I'll let you choose if you answer one of my trivia questions. And here they are. What device, what machine, what piece of equipment did Eli Whitney receive a patent for on this day in 1794? That's not a trick question, folks. Also, what...
I know the answer. Do I win the prize?
What political philosophy is Karl Marx considered to be the father of? Also, what is the formula that Albert Einstein developed? It's a real simple little formula. And also, one more, what television show did Billy Crystal get his national start in? Did he become famous in national television? Tell me the name of that. 888-822-8255. Give us a correct answer to any of those trivia questions, and we'll send you a copy, one of the books that I have in front of me that Jeffrey has written. Jeffrey, you were talking about stupidity in our last segment, and I agree with you. I see it all the time wherever I go, and it's a combination of a lot of things: lack of training, lack of caring, lack of I don't know exactly what it is, but there's got to be a cure for this stupidity. And some people might think that when you and I use the word stupidity, that's a harsh word, but they're stupid somewhere. I mean, I don't know. It may not be the employee's fault. It may not be the person above them, but there's somewhere in the organization there's stupidity in there somewhere. What's the cure for it?
Well, first of all, you have to find out what the problem really is. It's not so much stupid as it is selfish. People think first in terms of themselves, and they think about, oh, woe is me, or oh, I'm having a problem, or oh, this is broken, or oh, this isn't working right, or oh, we're out of this, and they don't think in terms of how that affects the customer. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean the customer's need all of a sudden goes away. And so you've got to figure out a way to be able to accommodate that customer, even though you may be inadequately prepared or provided for at that moment. It may even mean going to your competition. It may mean buying something someplace from people that you hate in order to be able to serve the customer, because surely if you can't get it and the customer still wants it, they're going to go to your competitor to buy it anyway. You might as well go to your competitor to buy it for them.
That's right.
People don't think in terms of that, and that's the root cause of the problem, is that people are selfish. Here's a scenario. You know, we started out talking about this hotel and this woman who couldn't check me in because the computers are down. Well, just because her computers are down doesn't mean I don't need a room or want one quickly. And so what I would challenge every business to do is this: go out and make a list of everything in your business that can possibly go wrong. And one of the most interesting things about that is there's only about a dozen things.
Well, and
you know, the phone service goes down, the computers go down, you're out of stock on something, three people don't show up. There's not that much that can happen.
Right.
The delivery truck breaks down. There's nothing. It's not that an order is shipped wrong, something's back ordered. There's not that many things that can happen that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a group together of your inside people and maybe a couple of your customers and figure out how what goes wrong affects customers. For example, if you have a company that's got big inventory items and you're out of items occasionally and you back order the items to the customer, how does that affect them? You know, you think, well, we're out, we'll just back order. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. The customer's standing there opening up the box going, well, here's my stuff that I ordered, and then some of it's not there.
Right.
Well, that's a big deal to a customer, and big companies do it all the time. You know, office supply companies or janitorial supply companies or printing supply companies, they're stupid. They just backorder things as a matter of course without ever calling a customer and letting them know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I want to know, once I've identified all my problems and what can go wrong and how that affects customers, what are the best responses that you can give the customer if they interface you while the problem is occurring? In other words, give me a best practice. Was the front desk woman, was her best practice to me when the computers are down to say, we're not checking anybody in, the computers are down? Is that the best thing she could have said? Of course not.
That was
the worst thing that she could have said, but it was the easiest thing that she could have said, and it was the selfish thing that she said. She gave her situation in terms of herself, not in terms of me.
Right.
And then, to complete the process, you think, what can I add to this so that the negative becomes a positive? For example, she could have offered me a free meal. Now, in a hotel, the free meal is the cheapest thing that they've got. It's like a $10 bill to feed me a steak dinner.
Well, you know, another thing that she could have done, Jeffrey, she could have said, Mr. Gittimer, our computer's down, and that means I can't make you a key right now. If you'll give me about 5 minutes, if it doesn't come up, I will make sure that we get you in the room, even if the computers don't come up.
Right.
That would have cost her anything, and you'd have been glad to stand there for 5 more minutes to do that. Stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Jeffrey Gittimer, the author of Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless. Stay with us. Right, we are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Jeffrey Gittimer. He's the author of Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless, and also another book called The Sales Bible. Both of these are outstanding books. I recommend that you check them out, that you try to find them when you can. And, Jeffrey, I'd like for you to tell our audience where they can find your books.
They can find them two ways very easily, Jim. They can go to Amazon.com and look up my last name, Gittimer, G-I-T-O-M-E-R, and they can purchase themselves a book today. Or if they want special treatment by a live human being, they can call 1-800-242-5388, and that will get you the friendliest staff in the world at my company, By Gittimer.
And the best customer service in the world, right?
Absolutely incredible, actually. Because we have to practice what we preach, we are often tested by people from all over the world who call up and go, well, I was just seeing how you answered your phone, or I was just seeing what your place is like. I promise you, we get 10 of those a day.
Ah, really?
Of people just checking us out just to see how we're doing, or they call after hours.
Yeah.
Because we have we don't use any voicemail at all. We just have live people answer
real
the phone.
People. What a novel idea. What are you thinking?
Well, I'd rather have the phone answered at 3:00 in the morning by someone, even if they're not the greatest in the world. You know, the answering service is sort of hot and cold, but the bottom line is it's a live human being, and it absolutely shocks people who were waiting for voicemail or waiting for something silly to kick in, and they get hello. You know, you call from the West Coast at midnight, it's 3:00 in the East. And someone answers, By Gittimer, how can I help you?
I'll be darned. That's great. I want to talk about that. That's another issue I want to talk about in a minute. But before we get to that, I want to go back and finish up what we were talking about. You raised the issue of stupid customer service, which I agree with you. It was what we've been talking about up to now. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, that I was thinking about this while you were talking a little while ago. One of my mentors told me a long time ago, he said, Jim, we're not known by how we handle things when things are going great and things are going well and the customer is getting exactly what they want. We're known by how we handle things when things are not going well, when something breaks, when customer care, when customer service, or when service breaks down, or when the customer is unhappy. How we handle that situation is how we're known. And I agree with them because, and I've learned this in my career, and I know you have too, Jeffrey, and that is that if someone comes in your shop in your business, and they do business with you. They ask for something, you deliver it, they take it, they give you the money, and they walk out. They're probably not going to tell anybody about that event. But when things break down, when the computer goes down, when all the things that you mentioned in the last segment happen, some of those
right, they're out of
happen,
stock, somebody's rude,
whatever, you know. Yeah, any of those things, that is a customer waiting to tell somebody about that event waiting to happen.
That is correct.
And it can go one of two ways, right?
Here's the ground rule. When they leave your place of business, they're going to say one of three things about you. Something good, nothing, or something bad.
Yep.
And the cool part is you choose. The business owner or the business employee chooses what that customer says when they leave the store. Mm-hmm. Now, the object is for them to say something good. But the challenge is that they've not trained the people to go beyond ordinary. You know, can I help you? Uh-huh. You're looking for an extra large in that? Uh-huh. Well, let me see if we've got one. Oh, yeah, we do. Here. Now, there's nothing cool about that.
Mm-hmm.
You think for just one second about my wife went in the store the other day in we're in New Jersey. We're in the Cherry Hill Mall, one of the original malls of America. And went into the store and found this pair of slacks that she really liked. And I'm going to promise you that store clerk went through every single top that she had to try to find exactly what it was that my wife wanted. And when she couldn't, she suggested two other stores in the mall that my wife could go to that she thought might have a good selection because she shops the mall herself.
She wowed you, didn't she?
Well, when we walked out of the place, my wife said, boy, what a really good salesman that was.
Yeah.
What a nice person that was. Now, all that is a little bit of training and a little bit of attitude, and you mix that in with some friendliness. You know, if I ask everybody who's listening right now, what differentiates your business from other businesses, and everyone will jump up and say, well, it's our people. We have great people. And I say, no, you're almost right. It's your friendly people.
Yeah.
And that goes an incredibly long way towards helping people out. Now, that was a positive situation. It had nothing to do with a return or something was wrong or something was low quality. It was simply positive heaped on top of positive. That's the easiest way to create memorability.
Make sure your customers are wowed, folks. Don't underwhelm them. Please don't underwhelm them. That's the thing that they'll go talk about.
That's a great quote.
The first thing they'll say is how they were underwhelmed. All right, got to take a quick break. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Jeffrey Gittimer is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. The Sales Bible, which is the ultimate sales resource, and Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless, are two books that you can buy that were written by our special guest today and our good friend, member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, Jeffrey Gittimer. And Jeffrey is going to talk to us about a list that he's developed that is of what customers want. But Jeffrey, before you say that, before you talk to us about that list as we wrap up the hour, I just got to get this off my chest. I called a bank the other day where a friend of mine has just gone to work. It took me 3 minutes to go to listen to all the options.
Right.
It seemed like an hour. Maybe it was just a minute. All the options that I had to listen to. And, I mean, listen, I called their main number. I wanted to talk to this loan officer who's a friend of mine. And they went through all this list of things that I didn't want to talk about. And before I could actually get a person who could put me in touch with my friend, I had to listen to all this, including them asking for my Social Security number.
That's unbelievable.
This machine asked me for my Social Security number, and they didn't even know whether I had a wrong number or what.
I find it amazing.
I couldn't believe it.
I find it amazing that they'll lead off by saying, to serve you better.
Yeah.
And it is to save us money and to piss you off.
I don't understand it. Anyway, had to get that off my chest.
Here's
go ahead.
What the customer wants. The number one thing customers want is the truth. The number two thing they want is speed. Get back to me fast. give it to me fast, fix it fast. The number three thing they want is when something goes wrong, fix the whole thing, not just that little tiny little thing.
And by the way,
folks, beyond the call of fixing.
By the way, folks, all of these things that Jeffrey's telling you is in his customer loyalty book.
Number four, they want you to listen and not interrupt them while you're speaking or explaining your situation. Number five, they want you to tell them that everything will be okay. They want you to reassure them. Number six, they want no surprises. Tell them the bad news in advance and let them plan or alter their plans. Number seven, they want no excuses. Do what you promised. Number eight, they want friendly dealings and never to be argued with. Number nine, they want not to be told no or quoted from a policy book. Number ten, they want to laugh. Number 11, they want to be made to feel special. Number 12, they want you to show them that you care. And number 12 and a half, they would love to be surprised in a pleasant way.
Very good. I like that list. You know, one of the things that was throughout that whole, almost everything in that list, there was one very important characteristic that you've got to have, and that's honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you lead with the truth. We did a symposium where customers and salespeople got together in the same room, and the number one thing that each wanted from the other was the truth.
Here's an example of what that would sound like, folks. Ma'am, I don't know the answer to that.
Right, of course.
Sir, it's just not here.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. If anyone wants to send me an email, Jeffrey, Jeffrey, @Gitomer, Gitomer.com, I'll be happy to send them that list of what the customer wants.
Outstanding. Thank you for that, Jeffrey.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate that. Jeffrey, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. I'm looking forward to having you back. It's always a kick when you're here.
Well, I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck. And don't forget, folks, The Sales Bible is one of his books. The other one is Customer Satisfaction is Worthless. Customer Loyalty is Priceless. Jeffrey, have a good day.
Thank you very much, Jim. Nice to talk to you as always.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, I've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.